Morning, Kay. Good morning, Anna. I'm excited for this show because we have plenty of stuff to cover today, and I'd be happy to share everything about APRN and my NP journey as well. It's a hot topic. If you go to my social media page, it's all about, you know, should I stay RN? Should I be NP? Is this fit for me? We hear a lot of stories in social media, but for me, it's all about finding the right career path that suits your personality and your preferences, right? Not everybody is built to be bedside RN for until retirement. Not everybody is built to be nurse leaders. Not everybody is built to be nurse educators. In the very same manner, APRN path is also not for everybody. So that's one thing that I would like to open the stage with. But today we're going to dissect it, and we have a special guest.
Yeah, I'm quite excited about it. In fact, when I was in the concert last night, I received a lot of messages about our upcoming, which was so great, because especially nurses from the Philippines. I mean, in Lapora, as we all know, I graduated my master's, and everyone's asking, is it beneficial to write my master's while waiting for my periodic grade to be current? I mean, is it not going to be a good way? Mom, Anna, I want to be a CRNA. I want to be the corners all, be an NP. How do I start? Where will I start? How much? What are the limitations? And I said, I'm not going to answer it. Log in tomorrow or watch tomorrow, which is okay. So we are so happy. We're so excited. And FYI, guys, Kay also have a master's. Right, Kay?
I didn't finish it, Anna.
But you took it here.
I took it here. I was looking at job opportunities, and I was on my last term. But unfortunately, when I was looking for job opportunities, I needed more financial stability, and that not provided that. So I said, let's just put it on the side. And I started, you know, I was in a traveling nurse, and I've been hearing a lot of things about the program, and I'm like, all right,
maybe it's not for me.
It's not really for me, and a lot of people have done it. They just made a big U-turn on the midway and found better route for them. So that's why I became a travel nurse, contract nurse, for a total of 18 years of contract nursing. So,
right now, will you have any plan going back? I mean, why not?
Yeah, I'd love to go back, but it's not definitely the same program that I want. So this is where we always talk about setting your goals, and it's not bad to change your path along the way.
Oh, yeah.
Your priorities will change, your situation will change, and for me, my family's financial stability and me being there for my family before was very important, and it's a no-brainer. My family goes first, and at that situation, my personal situation was I was the breadwinner back then, so it was very important to provide financial stability. I can, and then I said I can just pick it up next time if I want to, but like now I can pick it up whenever I want to, and definitely it's not going to be the same.
Okay, so the corners all, are you excited because you are leaving us coming from RN or Philippines, and You have your masters. A lot of people are like asking, how will our nurse all become an MP, Ms. Anna? How will it happen? he took his masters from the Philippines. And I was like, well, his journey is amazing. And guys, we're going to hear it straight from Nan Agargan with the corners all with our questions. So please, if you're watching, share us with your friends. Especially if you want to be a CRNA, right? A lot of people are asking about being a CRNA, and I think this will be a big help, all right, by this information, and this is free. But if you happen to, when you're not able to watch us live, we are available in Spotify and Apple, so you're not gonna really miss a thing. But if you can watch live, better, because I'm asking questions, you can get answers, you know, straight from us, right? GNP a lot, wow.
Immigrant Nursing Podcast, yes. We now have about almost 2,000 subscribers. Wow.
Yeah.
I just recently found out in our DNP Unlocked Immigrant Nurse podcast. So guys, please do us a favor. Download this in Apple Podcasts and Spotify so you can listen to the past 44 episodes, Kay and Anna.
Right, and we share the real life story, no sugar coating.
Right. We have about 80 viewers now. Anna, I would like to bring in one of our friends. She is our guest speaker for today. Yep. Mm-hmm. And she was here last time to talk about how she opened up her clinic and how she became a nurse practitioner. But today, because our episode, episode 45, is all about APRN, Advanced Practice Registered Nurse, Scope of Practice, I would like to bring our friend in. Her name is Rachel Garcia Tan, and she is an immigrant nurse based in Nevada, right? In Las Vegas, actually. And she is actually, I'm family nurse practitioner. Rachel is acute, adult gerontologic, acute care nurse practitioner, all right? So we have two different backgrounds. We can compare that as well later. And the difference between my practice in Texas and Rachel is, in Texas, nurse practitioners are restricted. We'll talk about that later. However, in Rachel, her practice, state of Nevada, is full practice authority. And she's now operating with her own clinic and a medical suite. Hi, Rachel.
Hello. Good morning, guys. Good morning.
Give us an overview about you. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Rachel. I know it was such a short notice, less than a week notice. But thank you. I would love to have you back in the show. But
So my name is Rachel. I'm back here again. Thank you, Paul. I'm a nurse practitioner. My specialization is adult gerontology acute care nurse practitioner. So basically, I can see patients from the age of 18 above. I'm mainly focusing on seeing senior patients. So currently I'm working under a group which is Reliant Physicians. I see patients in skilled nursing facilities. So mostly long-term care and post-acute patients that I visit and go there Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And on top of that, I operate also my own concierge practice, which is I do like multiple cash pay services like IV infusion, other weight loss and telehealth services.
That was fun. I love the entrepreneurial spirit in nurses, you know, because we have this connotation that as nurses, we're going to be the only job that we have is bedside. But honestly, there's a lot of business opportunities, especially here in the United States, for nurses, just like what Rachel did. She did extra schooling so she can start up her own clinic and do business, you know? So, and we've always advocated for that. But anyway, for our viewers today, we would love for you guys to start putting in questions so we can answer your questions today, because this will be a very fun topic. But let's start with Anna and Kay, and me and Rachel will probably just add up to it. What is APRN? We always hear this Advanced Practice Registered Nursing, but what is it? Like, what's the difference with the RN license?
So, Advanced Practitioner Registered Nurses are those nurses who went and pursue their definitely advanced degrees beyond bachelor's degree. So there is a lot of routes there. It can be an APRN, a CRNA. It can be a nurse, you know, like again, nurse practitioners, education. Anybody who advanced their degrees is considered advanced registered nurse practitioners. But the one who actually had like you said, the ability to practice on his own is dependent again, which state you are. Not all states, especially New York, we don't have that ability to practice on their own. So there's like you said, advanced registered nurse practitioners, or we call it the practitioners in general. Again, they're the one who is able to see patients like physician assistants, your nurse practitioner, your doctors, internists in the hospital. So again, those can be individual practitioners who will see you. as a direct patient care. So advanced nursing, advancing your nursing degree does not mean that automatically you're going to be able to see these patients as a sole provider or a provider. So it's really different. So you have to know what exactly what you want to do, because it's not, your bachelor degree will not be able to give you that that potential to practice on your own or practice under a group of, like Rachel mentioned, she works with a group of practitioners. Mm-hmm. So those are the difference. Bachelor's is your 4-year degree. Your advanced nurse practitioner will need you additional 1, 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, depending on how, what your program is and what you're going to do. CRNA is also, we call it advanced nursing, also degrees, but they're usually under the scope of the anesthesiologists. But nurse practitioner is not in most of states.
Rachel?
Basically, APRN, it is an advanced postgraduate education, right? So like me, I was a nurse for a couple of years in here in the U.S. And then I decided I really wanted to become, to advance my degree, which is master's degree, way back in the Philippines. But when I arrived here in the U.S., like I said, I just want to do it here in the U.S. because it's, you know, it's here in the U.S. it's more advanced and the training is different, right? So nurses practicing at this level may work, you know, in either a specialist or general capacity. APRNs are also prepared with advanced didactic and clinical education, knowledge, skills, and other scope of practice in nursing. Some of the nurse practitioner programs, you have to have like specific experience. For example, I did my advanced adult gerontology acute care. They required me to have 2 years of experience in acute care setting. So different types of nurse practitioner program has different qualifications that you can that you have to have before you can enroll. Yeah, so that's basically my introduction for the APRN.
For me, Anna, so APRN, the Advanced Practice Registered Nurse, is a specific term that means a nurse has acquired an advanced degree and is eligible for an advanced license. APRN is actually a license. It's not a degree. So there are different advanced degrees for graduate education level, for example, MSN and DNP and PhD. Or nurses could also take other master's degrees that are not related to nursing, like MHA, MBA, or other doctorate degrees, right? But APRN is a license. So similar to you having your RN license, APRN is also a license on top of your RN license. For you to be an APRN, you must have an RN license first, completed a advanced practice registered nurse degree or graduated from it, and took the board exam. Right? So I'm trying to share my screen, but obviously it couldn't be shared. But there are four types of APRN, four types, according to the consensus model of American Nurses Association. And this is very important because there is a distinction between RN and APRN. There are similarities to roles, but it will eventually start deviating to where now it's two different branches of nursing. It's still under nursing. Majority of RNs still report to the Board of Nursing. For legal purposes and for regulation purposes. But to cut it short, there are four types of APRN licenses, all right? The first one is the nurse practitioner, and perhaps the most popular, right? Because we hear a lot about nurses moving up to the NP role, especially with our immigrant nurse community. A lot of us probably didn't have the opportunity to go to med school, because med school is expensive in the Philippines. That's one of my motivation, but I could still, you know, function at that level. You know what I mean? So that was one of my motivations. But so that's one, nurse practitioner. The other one is called certified nurse specialist or clinical nurse specialist, CNS. CNS is less popular. I think among all the APRN degrees, this is, they have the fewest number, less than 100,000. NPs are around 350,000 now in the whole US and growing. It's probably going to be one of the fastest, by the way, NP is one of the fastest career in the next 10 years, according to labor survey, right? Bureau of Labor Statistics. Second is CNS. CNS in some states also function very similarly to NPs, very similarly. So they can act as providers, as associates, you know, they can put orders, diagnose, and all that. The only difference is the NPs are focused on population, for example, family medicine, community outpatient, ER urgent care. Rachel is adult gerontologic acute care, so similar to internal medicine. We have pediatric NPs, women's health NPs. We have psychiatric NPs, right? So five domains of nurse practitioner. In CNS, they are more specialist of disease or disorder. Think of medicine as subspecialty. So we have diabetic certified nurse specialists, right? We have, for example, critical care certified nurse specialists. They have their own subspecialty. That's why they're called nurse specialists. They specialize in one or two things. So a little narrow, but still performs at the level of APRN where they can put in orders. They're more autonomous. They're a little independent. They don't have to wait for orders to do something because they can put orders themselves. So that's the second type of APRN. The third type is called certified nurse midwives or CNM. Of course, obviously, CNMs work with obstetricians, all right? So they provide obstetric and gynecologic services, mainly obstetric services for pregnancy and delivery, all right? So, and the third and the fourth type is actually the highest paying type of nurse in the whole world, right? Is CRNA. In the whole world. That's the truth, though. That's certified registered nurse anesthetist. So they work inside the OR to provide anesthesia services. So if you look at it, APRNs are actually similarly mirroring the medicine practice. So if you have IM, internal medicine, if you have subspecialties in IMs, then we have the NPs and CNS for that. If you have obstetricians, then we have the CNMs for that. And we have, if we have nurse anesthetists, then we have the, if we have anesthesiology in OR, then we have the CRNAs for that. So the main goal of the APRN as a degree, as a practice, is to help with the shortage because there's a lot of shortage areas. You can look it up in hrsa.gov. Even big cities would have shortage areas for providers. There is a specific ratio that Medicare wants in order to provide quality care for everybody, right? And that's how APRN comes about. So those are four types. NP is just one of those and perhaps a little more popular because of the number. There's a lot of NPs, right? That's the four type of APRNs. You still have to go take your boards to become an APRN now. Let's talk about education. Since we talked about master's degree, doctorate degree, or postgraduate degree, or what if I have master's degree in the Philippines? What do we do about that, Anna?
Hey, I mean, I'm newly graduated. I newly graduated from my master's from the Philippines. So, and as we all know, I'm here in New York for 9 years now. So a lot of people, I think I received 100 messages about it. Mom, am I really your master's degree? Yes. Is it really worth it? How can you do it? Is it going to be useful? Yes. We got the nurse also a great explanation later about APRN. You can use your master's from the Philippines. Now, my end goal, the way I got it from the Philippines, first is cheaper. I can do it online. Second, it's equivalent. My Master of Arts in Nursing equivalent to MSN. But you have to undergo education evaluation. And a lot of people have a misconception about if accredited school. our school from the Philippines will not be present here. You have to get your master's degree be evaluated either by CGFMS or by WES. So yes, you can use your master's because my end goal is to be in education. And not for being an NE, not for being a CRNA, which is the highest salary income, like what the partners all. So if you're waiting for your priority day to be current, yes, write your master's from the Philippines. But then again, let me remind you, it depends on your goal. If you want to be an CRNA or NE, you can still write it by in the pathway of the partners all, because I think it would be great that he explained it more. But on my end, yes, and we have no Master of Art in nursing here in US, right? The partners all, we only have Master of Science, MSN. So you have to either go residential evaluation, like I mentioned. You have to A or okay, go find out free. They're like, oh, my man, it's free. And now I am, you know, reaping the benefits of it. It added additional A rate or my salary, and it opens a lot of opportunities because my goal is to be an educator.
But Kay,
you know, it's like when you go to one area and there's like all the kids who doesn't get the social pressure, the peer pressure.
Yeah, yes.
You know, like a lot of people have been telling me, go, do this, do that, do your schooling, do that, right? So, like you said, nurse practitioner is not for everyone. When I was thinking about it, I think the best route for me as an OR nurse back then will be if I go for wound care.
Yeah.
We have also a lot of OR nurses who went to those work with those clinics with our surgeons. So that will be a path if you're coming from a surgical procedure and not from bedside care. But I mean, OR is bedside, but it's procedural units. No, when talking about procedural units, that will be your OR, your cath lab, your interventional radiology, your imaging. So there is a lot of procedural, like especially endoscopy. So we have a lot of OR nurses who went in this field where they can actually assist those physicians in procedural. The one thing that I've noticed, Paul, was the setback among these physicians of hiring, you know, before we had that, we would call it first assist. Actually, we still have it. For OR, they would advance their degrees into first assist. Through trainings. Well, sorry, not degree, but a certification. So they said before that the first assist will be able to help during the surgery, but the surgeons or our providers needed someone who actually wants, who can see the patients outside OR. So then there was an evolution of having physician assistant to help them. But then also the physician assistant, I think also has limited scope when it comes to nursing care as well, right? Giving their discharge orders on the level of the nursing scope. So there was that lacking piece of that. So I believe that's where a lot of our procedural nurses have entered that field for nurse practitioner, especially to wound care. I know a lot of our nurse practitioner who works with like chronic wound care patients, with your vascular patients, your cardiac patients. Vascular. So those are a lot of, I would say, I've observed that our OR procedural nurses have went to. And there's also non-procedural nurses. They work in the ER, but they're also focusing on that wound nurse practitioner, I would say, specialty. So yeah, that's one, me is that one kid who never got peer pressured to do the nurse practitioner. You know, it's like someone who never watched Harry Potter, right? So that's me. So I've seen one. So, but you know, there's like somebody who's like, oh, you have to see this. You have to go that. Oh, you have to advance your degree. For me, I look at myself, what will make me happy? I never get pressured to do. For me, I was really more on mentoring, teaching. So for me, nurse practitioner wasn't for me, but I know that nurse practitioner would advance, you know, would open up a lot of doors for me as well, but it's just not the door that was that I like to do. So
okay, okay. I agree with everything you said, except that yeah, you don't watch Harry Potter. When we meet, part of our agenda is to watch at least one Harry Potter movie. Okay. We're gonna sit down and dissect the movie.
I did watch one. So I am a person who, you know, who's really, if I do something, I get hooked onto doing it. So I was saying, like, you know, I cannot be an ICU nurse for the same reason. Like, I would cry. That's it.
Yeah.
But I do like seeing the people I mentor be, you know, surpass what I have accomplished. And because it's very important to realize that happiness is really not achieving so many degrees, but really enjoying what you're doing. And if nurse practitioner is something for you, you move forward with it. You love seeing patients, love talking patients. But for me, I'm really more on like teaching. My mom is a teacher. So, but for me, if you like clinical nursing, you go move forward with it. And people ask me, is it still worth it? Well, it depends on your goals. All right. So if your goal is to be, you know, the expert of that field, especially on a specific specialty of nurse practitioner, I would say, yes, do it. Because you're crafting your masterpiece of caring. But if your only goal is to advance nurse practitioner to a nurse practitioner program because I want to have more money, the next question is, it will increase your salary, but at what age are you taking this?
Okay? There's loans too. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Investment comes best when you do it at early part of your life.
Right.
If you're doing this when you're 55 years old already, and you're thinking that that will do this just because of money, the rate of, you know, your investment and rate of, you know, the return of investment, ROI, will might not be the same that you're expecting, because again, you're going to borrow a loan, or if you have your cash, you know, you're going to have to calculate what's the ROI. But I don't recommend just pursuing it for money, because this is where a lot of people I have seen, they thought that, you know, this is the one that's going to put them in a higher financial situation. But then in reality, it did not on their end. So then they regret it. So for me, is you leave regrets are, you know, not really supposed to be there, but it's something that you tried, you know, and it just didn't work well. But I think for me, it's not really regret, but it's more on you missed to calculate what was really your goal versus what your strategy is. So if your goal is to create more money, well, you have to run your numbers. You're talking about creating more money, then write your numbers, right?
More money, yeah.
But if your goal is to, because this is my passion, this is what I want, and this is the life I want to live, taking care of my patients and crafting my arts in caring, then absolutely go for it, regardless of what your age is. And like Rachel, look at her, you know, she didn't stay where she was. She even grew into a medical, you know, your medical suites and being an entrepreneur, because at the end of the day, it is your business that you will have to sell. And if you don't have that craft or master, you have not mastered your craft, who will buy your product? Who will buy your service?
Right. I want to jump on that, Kay. It's all about planning, because you can see stories, and even probably where you work at, nurses, that there are also NPs that went back nursing, bedside nursing. So like I said, and a nurse practitioner is an advanced license. You committed to it, got into school, did your boards, got your clinicals. You pay for all these stuff, including licenses that you need to maintain. Now you're maintaining two licenses, RN and APRN, right? And then end up realizing it is not for you. But now you're stuck with loans. You're stuck with 3-4 years that you spent NP school that you could have done nursing and specialize in one area or add more skills to you. So it's all about planning, right? Before you do something big, such as an NP school, ask yourself, is this for you? I've had friends who went to CRNA school, 5 years down the line, they said, I wish I did FNP. Right? I had friends that are FNP that said, I wish I did CRNA, right? Because two different goals. probably the CRNA is done with money at that point, just want to do outpatient telemedicine, something they're not capable of because they're always in the OR only prescribing anesthesia, right? But now you're stuck in the OR for the rest of your career life because that's your specialty. Is this something that you want to do? When I started deciding for my NP is, what do I want to look like when I'm 65, right? At the retirement age. Do I still want to be in the ER? Probably adding more cervical injuries because I already have C4, probably add more C3 and C2 and C1 to do more CPRs. You know, do I want to be in the academe teaching? Do I want to be in the business, right? Creating new stuff, innovating for nurses or streamlining efficiencies for nurses, right? Do I want to be practicing as an NP, providing telemedicine services in clinic, in the community, providing medical missions, right? But I realize I cannot predict the future, but I can open up my opportunities so that when I get there, I have more options to do. I know I wanted to do CRNA as well, but I have to be moving to ICU, which adds up another 2 years to me when I was already 31, 32 when I decided to do this, right? But also, I thought to myself, do I want to be providing anesthesia at 6 years old inside the OR, probably performing emergency anesthesia for an emergency surgery at 12 a.m. because I have calls? You know what I mean? Is that what I wanted to do? But something like that, all of us have different goals, right? It's not for everybody, right? So if I wasn't APRN as well, I could have done something else as well, but I definitely would find something to open up more opportunities for me. But once you commit yourself to this, you have to be fully on board to it because it's a lot of time and effort. And for me, Kay, it's not even the money. Of course, money is important, right? But also time. That time loss is also money or time with your family. Your good kids could have grown by the time you finish NP school and settled. I'm still a baby NP. Right, I'm a nurse for 16 years, but as an NP, I always remind my colleagues, you know, I'm still a baby NP, you know, I'm still growing. I'm in my first 2 years as an NP. Remember when you were a nurse in your first 2 years? It was chaotic. You were trying to learn so much skills, short span of time, right? It was also exciting, exhilarating, but I'm 37. I don't have the energy when I was 21 learning new things. So somebody asked me, why didn't you go to medical school? For the same reason. I do not think I can commit to it for the next 5 to 10 years. I feel like I'll probably finish med school, but probably eventually regret my decision. Like, why am I stuck here? Now I'm stuck here. I have to make something out of it. And by the time I get out of it and settle and pay all the loans and be a millionaire, I'll probably be 60. That's time lost for me. I would never see Europe again. I would never see South America, something like that. So it's all about personal goals. So like Kay and Anna have personal goals. And me and Rachel also have personal goals. To our listeners, followers, viewers, it's all about what you really want to do in life. Don't keep up with the Joneses, right? Not because 10 of your friends did NP, you feel like the next step for you is NP. Is it really? Because once you're in, Kay and Anna, you got to be committed, right? Did I ever at one point realize, is this the right path for me? I'm going to tell you right now, I was in DNP school for 4 years, right? 4 years, all right? I was exhausted, mentally done, right? At the time of graduation, you know how it is with DNP school. In doctorate level, they want you to be, and I was in TCU. It's a very competitive school. They always want you to be excelling, achieving something, leadership, right? Social skills, right? Something for the community nursing. At the time of graduation, all of my professors are like, because they've known me always one step, two step forward. They're like, what's next? I was like, there's nothing next. I want to go to Hawaii. The following week after my graduation, I was in Hawaii for 2 weeks. Because I just don't want to do anything. I don't want to think about anything. I was very, very exhausted. So the point is, at one point, I also thought, is this the right path for me? And then I finished NP. I'm now an NP. And I didn't practice for 1 year. You guys know this, right? And I was like, what am I going to do with the degree that I just got? You know, like there's loans attached to it. And there's so much time that I invested for it, studying and polishing my craft. But what am I going to do with it, right? But now I'm enjoying it. I realize I did the right decision for now, right? I don't know 5 years later. But you got to be committed to it. Because without planning, there's so many options for nursing. You can easily make a mistake and go the wrong route and realize 3 years down the road after you've invested so much, it is not for you, right? So something like that, very important to plan. But okay, you were going to add something?
Yeah, so very interesting because, you know, we're comparing like the time that you've spent for. And I'm really curious about Rachel. Rachel, you have kids, right?
Yeah, let's have Rachel share her journey. Like, why did you go school, motivation and all that?
Yeah, have, how many kids you have, Rachel?
I have two kids. I have a five-year-old girl and a two-year-old boy. So it's very busy.
I was single when I did it, and I was busy. I don't know how she did it, but yeah, wow.
So woman, super mom.
You know what actually motivated you to go for a nurse practitioner? Number one. Number two is, did you listen to mentors, resources? And number three is, how does it look like when you were studying a nurse practitioner and having kids? How does your schedule look like?
And wait, my number five question. You regret it. Okay.
So
you have so many questions.
Yeah. So I, what motivates me to become a nurse practitioner and enroll in a nurse practitioner program is because I wanted to have more time and freedom for myself in the future. Like, so also advance my degree, right? And as what Nurse Paul said, nurse practitioner level here in the US is similar to a doctor also, that you can prescribe, you can treat patients. So me, I was a nurse, I was an ICU nurse. I like to, you know, see critical care stuff. And sometimes I try to, you know, argue with the doctor, why do you do that? You know, so I feel like I wanna do something like different for my patient that I can treat them and do better as a result of, you know, what I've studied. So I think that's the motivation, and also freedom, time freedom. So now as a nurse practitioner, I was so privileged and honored because a group of doctors hired me, and there's actually a lot of you know, old nurse practitioners there that had more experience than what I, because I'm also a baby like Nurse Paul, so you know, but I told him, doc, this is what I really want. I want to work in post-acutes because I already experienced ICU nursing for long. I was even hired by as a hospitalist in the hospital, but you know what, I didn't accept it first because I have to be tied up in the hospital like the hours, 7 days a week, 7 days on, 7 days off. It's not gonna work with my schedule, having two kids, sending them to school every day, Monday, you know, Monday to Friday. So it's not gonna work. So this doctor offered this opportunity for me to practice as a acute care nurse practitioner in a long-term setting, you know, to improve and develop my skills. And it worked for me. So as was Nurse Kay also mentioned, it's all about your, you know, your main goal, right? Are you happy with it? So actually, I'm very happy because I have my freedom. I can do what I want, and I can go to see my patients anytime I want. I respond to the nurses. So yeah, I love it. Yes.
That's good, Rachel. But what route did you take? Did you do master's degree, postgraduate degree, or DM? Because I think there's a misconception that there's a question here, Rachel. Do you need, it says, is it necessary to take MSN before you become an APRN? I want to split that again, all right? APRN is a license, all right? MSN is a degree. You need a degree before you can get a license. So yes, you need an MSN before you go to APRN, but not everybody has MSN. I have MAN in the Philippines. Tell us about your education, Rachel. And how mm-hmm. did you become about an MP?
So I studied at Northern Kentucky University. So it's MSN level. So it's Master's of Adult Gerontology Acute Care Nurse Practitioner. I mainly chose
MSN,
this. Yeah, because I already have experience with critical care. There's a lot of types, right? Family nurse practitioner, adult gerontology primary care, and then adult gerontology acute care.
Acute care.
So also psych nursing, psych nurse practitioner, and the midwife, and also the CRNA. But I chose acute care because that's already what I've experienced. Mm-hmm. And I like pretty much know more on those critical care. I didn't choose family first because I don't like kids. I mean, I'm so scared with parents. That's why I didn't want to do family. So 2 years of program, it's mostly online. As I told you guys earlier, it required me to have 2 years of experience in critical care when I enrolled on this program. So 2 years of they reviewed my credentials from the Philippines and also my experience. They asked for reference. And I was honestly, I was on probation. You know why? Because I didn't meet the GPA standard in initially here in the US. I think they required like the above three or something. I can't remember. I was not really type A student back in the Philippines. So I was just like, I enjoyed my college days back there. But then I proved this school that, you know, I can do it. So during the first two semesters, I was able to get mostly A's. So they're pretty happy about it. And they advanced my program. So I completed it. And also, I think Anna asked me about how did I do it, right? I started it 2019 when I was still in Kentucky. Back then, I had to take loans. So I don't have the means because I'm still under agency. So when you're under agency, not a lot of agency provides you educational like money for people to advance your degree. So I took student loan, like probably Nurse Paul also did that. And when I moved here in Nevada, I got a good the hospital that I worked with, they offered the education tuition allowance. So they provided like around $5,000 per year. So all you have to do is, apply for it and they will grant you, they'll reimburse you that amount of money. So that helped my loan to lower down. But then I try to leverage it with, because I'm a hustler, I do so much, and I try to, just time management with kids, with your family. But most importantly, you really have to, have time for yourself too. So yeah, my schedule was really crazy because also during my, the time that I was doing the clinicals fall, I was, I got pregnant on my second
day.
I got pregnant. I was working full time as an ICU nurse. So 3 days working in the hospital and then 3 days clinicals. So it's the 6 days. And I was pregnant during pandemic. That clinical hours as well, I had to work at night. So day and night, it was hectic, but I made it. After I finished the degree, it's during pandemic and I was pregnant. And I was lucky to take the board exam while I'm at home, because that time, right, Nurse Paul, I don't know, if when did you take your board Paul?
2021.
It was during pandemic as well, right?
It was. Yes. That is correct.
So I chose to take the boards while I'm at home because it's more convenient for me.
I had to go to testing center.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. So
wearing a mask.
I took ANCC, the certification, and they allowed me to take the board exam at home. But you have to show your surroundings. Make sure that it's nobody's there, right? You don't have any other source of information that might trigger them. So this is my experience.
Right.
I have a follow-up question for you, Rachel. Voting both time, working all time, being a mom, being a wife, and I'm sure you're also a daughter, you have parents back home, hustling, and in school. I mean, I only have math work online and I have no clinicals. How do you manage everything emotionally, easily, and financially, you're alone? Was there a point in your life that you said, I want to quit, I want to give up, it's okay, I'm going to go something else? Is there a time that you experienced that, and how would you, work it out? Like, no, Rachel, you can do it. I mean, a lot of people want to hear inspiring story, how you were able to, combat those struggles and sufferings and about to quit moment of your life.
Right. So it didn't come to my mind to quit because once I started that program, the nurse practitioner program, because my goal is, that I really wanted to have a degree or have a this license as a nurse practitioner. And it never came to my mind that I will quit. But friends and family members helped me really to achieve this. My husband, he was here taking care of the kids, full-time daddy. So that really helped a lot in achieving all this success right now that I am, that I have. Also, my mom-in-law, she came here because she has the visa, so tourist visa, so she can stay for for at least 6 months. So she was here helping us with the kids. I think it's very important if you have to have a family member or friends that you can go to and ask for support, because it is really hard in the U.S., especially if you have kids and you don't have any help. So sometimes I cry, and because it's just very exhausting. But at the end of the day, your goal is to provide, means for your family, generational wealth in the future. So yeah, so that's the main thing. That's why I never give up.
I think that's the most important thing. Like, have a goal and overcome that goal, and you will never ever think of give up. I waited 8 years, failed IELTS, and a lot of people are asking me, what did you ever think of quitting? I said, no, it never came on my mind to quit, because my eyes is on the prize and my goal. It's that really motivates me. And I'm so amazed by your story, Ms. Rachel, because, oh my God, being an MP and the clinical and being pregnant and pandemic and all of that, what our nurse all said, he's single.
For me, that was the easy part, because I was single, I don't have to worry about kids, but it was also difficult. So I admire Rachel, because it's really hard. Thank you for all the nurses and moms and even dads that are sacrificing for their family. But guys, one thing that defines all four of us here on the screen right now, and to all our listeners is we're all hustlers. We get things done regardless of the situation, right? I didn't have the advantage to have kids, probably for personal and non-personal reasons. But I do feel like I have kids because, my brothers and sisters and my mom, so, and my nephews and nieces. So breadwinner problems, kind of like that. But it's difficult. It's not easy. That's why you guys got to be 100% committed to it. Like, there will be times where you'll be like, am I... Because, you know, you go to school and then you do clinicals on top of you doing nursing stuff because you still need money. Am I really qualified for this? Is this really what I want? Like, what am I doing? Why am I overworking so much for this, right? There will be moments of you want to think about, am I regretting this now? Do I want to quit? But loans already started kicking in. So you're like, you know what I mean? You got to be 100% committed to it.
Paul, I have a question for you.
Go for it.
Why did you, because, you know, you had your, did you choose DNP straight or you did the master's first?
Good question. Okay. I'm ready for the answer. Here it is. Okay. So before that, very quickly, less than a minute, there are three routes, particularly for immigrant nurses, to get into NP or advanced practice registered nursing licensed practice or scope of practice, right? Either you take a full master's degree, which is MSN, here in the US. Why here in the US? Because the master's degree for NPs, for particularly or even CRNA, we don't have master's degree for CRNA anymore, is configured to what the board requires and the state requires, right? Because, for example, the board would require you to have three major courses. We call it the three-piece pathophysiology, physical assessment, and pharmacology at advanced degree level, clinical rotation hours, and graduate degree, right? So master's degree, get it here if you want to be an APRN. If the APRN is the goal, wait till you get here to the US, get it here, all right? Because that can wait. I would rather that you guys have education here in the US. That way your practice and experience is actually configured to the US healthcare system. There are NPs in Canada, UK, Australia, and some other few countries, less than 20 countries around the world. That is also totally acceptable because there's one follower that I have in Dr. Nurse Paul Page that said, I'm an NP in UK, can I do this? I think you can. I said, start asking the board first because the board will license you. And then start followed by asking the board first, and then the board of nursing, and then the certification board if it meets the eligibility requirement for you to sit for the boards, because you still need to sit for the boards and then apply for a license, kind of like during RN, right? So that's one. But if you can wait, do it here in the US so you're educated for the US healthcare system, because, you know, being NP, you are at advanced level where you're prescribing meds, performing procedures, diagnosing patients. You don't want to make mistake with that because now the stakes are higher. You are where the buck stops. When the patient comes into your office, you cannot be like, doc, can you check my patient? No, you are it. You are going to diagnose a patient. You cannot make a mistake. So that's one. The other route is if you have master's degree outside US, can I still do APRN route? Yes. There is what you call post-master's degree. It is really not needed and really not necessarily frowned upon to have two master's degrees. This is at the academic level, all right? In the academic world, don't do two master's degrees of the same discipline. You cannot have MAN and MSN. It is not necessary. It is a waste of time. If you want to do double master's, the second discipline, the second master's degree should be another discipline. For example, MSN or MAN and MPH, right? But not MAN, MSN, because it's only considered as one, because it's only one discipline. An advanced degree is per discipline, not per how many schools you went into and got the diploma, right? So if you already have MAN, for example, outside US, like me, I have MAN outside US, you can do postgraduate degree, which means you don't need to do master's, or not going to graduate with master's degree again, but you're going to graduate with a certificate that says you completed postgraduate nurse practitioner program, which makes you eligible to sit for the boards. and then get an APRN license from the state. Because again, it's two, certification and licensing. So that's two, right? That's post-master's degree. So can I do that? Yes. Do I have to go master's degree route? No. But the acceptance or process to enroll in post-master's is similar to MSN. All right. So for many schools, and I would advise really pick good schools because it also depends on schools, right? Some of these programs are very, very competitive. They open a few spots for post-master's degree. So like Rachel said, GPA, I was not required in the English exam because I guess they saw my scholarly work or something like that. But I mean, I was not required for English exam, but they had to look through my BSN, MAN degree, right? So no need for doing all MAN. You can do post-master's degree or do what I did because I already had BSN, MSN. If I do post-master's, for me, that's another 2 years. But then my end goal when I was moving here to the States is to still get a doctorate degree because I want to be an educator, nurse leader in the future, right? So for me, the end goal, the natural progression for me, since I'm already in the academe, is to do bachelor's and then master's and then doctorate. But I also want to do NP, right? So I'm like, okay, since I'm a very strategic person and I want to hit three birds in one stone, I was like, I'm going to enroll in DNP. That can make me an NP and a nurse educator. So I did 4 years of DNP that my major is actually nurse practitioner. And my subspecialization is nurse educator. I'm eligible to sit for certified nurse educator licensure exam too, or certification, but I haven't done that yet because I'm busy with DNP unlocked. I'm just kidding. But the point is, that was me. I'm very strategic. If my end goal is to do doctorate anyway, but I also want to do NP, but I also want to do nurse educator, because here in the States, advanced degrees are based on specialization. Like MSN for educator, MSN for nurse executives, MSN for nurse informatics, MSN for whatever specialization, so many. I want to specialize in the nurse practitioner side because I want to stay in the clinical side because I enjoyed my ER experience. I just couldn't do it because I love it. My body would not allow me to do it. I know at one point my neck will fail and now 5 years from when I started nursing NP school or 6 years forward, my neck's actually failing. So it was a good decision to veer to NP. I still want to stay in the clinical side. So that's why I did DNP because my ultimate goal is to get a doctorate degree, but also allows me to test for nurse practitioner and become APRN NP, but also be a nurse educator and be a nurse leader or whatever. So that's my route. So you guys can have three routes, master's degree, postgraduate degree, everything in the US, right? Everything outside the US is irrelevant to NP because you need clinical hours and NP core courses, the three P's I mentioned earlier, and doctorate degree. So any which way. If you're doing CRNA, DNP is the only route. We now call it DNPA or DNAP, right? Depends on school. But doctorate is the only route. They remove master's degree for CRNA and NPs might follow the same track as well, but that's it. Now going back to the question, what was the question, Anna, again?
I have another question that I received last night. So you clearly FI both information and was always my solution. I feel like I'm in a review class every time the earners all talk, you know. So because you break it down clearly. Well, please rewatch this. Okay, stop asking the same question, like if MSN or MAN equivalent programs and that is the best route for BNP or BSCRMA. So my question will be the earner's call. My question too. If you can start all over again, but I don't you answer this. Now I'm lost. Now I'm totally lost. Hey, help me out.
What was the question, guys? I forgot the question. I don't know. I run out of coffee.
I have not coffee. I forgot my question. I lost my notes.
Let me fill in while I'm waiting for you guys' question. But the reason why I took the DNP route is because that was the most natural progression for me. Because when I was coming here to the States, when I was still in the Philippines, I finished my master's degree. And the plan was, if I was still retrogressed, I'm going to enter PhD school and start teaching for the graduate degree. Because I really wanted to teach nurses, but at the master's level or graduate level. So the plan was, my school was already giving me signals. They want to hire me, but I have to be in PhD class so I can start teaching master's degree. Because you cannot teach unless you're one degree higher, right? So master's degree to teach BSN, PhD degree to teach master's. So that was the plan. But then, you know, Uncle Sam started knocking and said, you're not current. You're not current. It's your time to go to the U.S. So I was like, okay, change of plan. But still, same plan. I still want to do doctorate, right? And guys, let me tell you this. I didn't know about NP before. It wasn't clear to me what NPs do. Not at all. I just know there's a nurse practitioner there. But my main goal is to get my doctorate degree. Find scholarships, find grants, get a doctorate degree. When I got here to the U.S., I work in ER. One doctor, four NPs or eight NPs, or four to six, right? Because it's a big ER. I was so amazed with my colleagues that are NPs, majority are Filipinos. I still look up to them right now. I was so amazed with what they do. I'm like, wow, they're putting orders themselves. They have autonomy to prescribe medications, to write scripts, to perform procedures. They were rock stars for me, like first time in the U.S. and I'm already seeing them suturing lacerations. And I'm very ER. Rachel is ICU. So she said earlier, like, I want to correct the doctor because he was putting in the wrong order, but I couldn't do it because I'm a nurse. But as an NP, I could do it. That's why she went to NP school. That was her aha moment, right? Because this was asked for from us when we were NP school. What was your aha moment? Why NP school? My aha moment was, I saw this nurse, and I still look up to her. I call her Ate. She was draining abscesses. She was suturing lacerations, reading EKGs. Oh my God. I was like, wow, I want to be the nurse that she is. You know, like so much knowledge, so much skills. She can, you know, she was an ER nurse for a long time and moved up to become NP. That I looked at her and all she does was so fluid, like so efficient, so knowledgeable, very smart, very demure, very mindful. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do that. And I was like, oh my God, am I going to do DNP or PhD or am I going to do NP? So I started researching, right? Is there a combined degree? Because I didn't know. Remember, this was in my first 3 months in the U.S., I was like, is there a combined degree? I already started emailing schools about PhD, actually. But if I do both, it's going to take me 5 years, 2 years in NP school and another 3 years in doctorate school. But I started looking, is there a combined degree so I can do both at the same time? Can I be an NP if I take the doctorate route instead? So that's how I found out about DNP, FNP, DNP, AGACNP, DNP, pediatric NP. So there are actually schools that do doctorate degree. And that's how I found my school here in Texas. But that's what I did because my ultimate goal is doctorate. But I also want to be an NP so I can stay in clinical side because I was enjoying nursing. I was enjoying ER, not the physical part, but the, you know, mental part. And we call it adrenaline rush, right? So I probably got addicted to epinephrine from my own body, right? The adrenaline rush, you crave for it. That's why I went to NP using the DNP route. But MSN route is also acceptable. The goal is to get the degree first so you can sit for the certification board and then get a license from the state. So that's the how we can sum it up.
Thank you so much, Paul, for that. It's very detailed on how what the steps are you've done. You mentioned about researching, you mentioned about strategic approach on how to do this. But the most important part here is you really started what your goal was. Mm-hmm. And that's what the most important part. When you are investing in a big expense and time like this, financial and time investment, you don't do it just because out of your emotions, like, hey, I'm very hyped now. I see Paul and Rachel did the nurse practitioner. Rachel built her nice sweets and I want to do it. Don't do it like that. Don't decide it based from your emotion on that day. I always recommend people, you see it, study it, okay? And you look at, you know, your own personal situation and then find similar people who has done it with your similar situation. Like for me, if I am a family, a person who wants to pursue my nurse practitioner and I have a family with me who supports with me, the first person I would approach will be Rachel. Because Rachel, how did you do it, right? How did you do it with the kids, with the challenges, with a similar situation? I have a spouse at home. I'm the breadwinner. How am I going to do it? You know, so Rachel will give you the best, I would say that I would be the better outlook when it comes to using it in your own personal situation. Paul did a great job in really studying the goals on his pathway also, but also there's a variable that he's by himself. And he will have, you know, he does not have a divided time with his kids. The only thing that he has a financial responsibility back home. Both of them got loans because both of them had financial support need because of the expensive schooling, right? But both of them does not have a personal situation because Paul doesn't have the dependents that he has to take care of, so he can put more time on it, and Rachel has more dependents that she has to put time as well to balance it. So it's different scenario. And then you listen to also to both people who went to it and both listen to people who didn't pursue it. So by putting all the variables there that you're listening to, like for me, I didn't do it. I knew it wasn't for me. Anna pursued her master else because that's what she wanted to do. Paul wants to do this, teach and to practice clinical. And Rachel also went into business and be expert on her own practice. So different variables of different people who went through different routes will give you a better aspect of how to approach it. But the most simple thing that we all have in common, we started with goals. All of us started what goal we want to do. Like for me and Rachel, we have similar. At one point in our life, we want to have more time with our family and be financially dependent, right? But we did different route. So for me, I love teaching, but Anna she pursued all her master's in nursing education, MAN, to teach.
Yeah.
I started it and then realizing, no, I need to do more financial stability than that. Because my goal was really to create an orphanage back home and to create a school. So I know that path was not, you know, right for me, but I can use those. And eventually now I see that I didn't realize I'm going to be landing here, mentoring people on, you know, personal, setting your personal goals in life. So thank you so much for all sharing this. This is very important. It's a great topic. People will learn how to advance. What's the best thing? What's the best strategy to approach it? And always, always, always start with your goal. Always have your mindset. What do you want to be? You know, you have to keep on asking the whys of everything. Why were you doing this? Why is Paul doing the nurse practitioner? Why is Rachel building this elite medical suites? Why is Anna, why did Anna pursue her master's in the Philippines versus in the United States? And why did Kay pursue travel nursing? You know, and by the way, if I did pursue my master's in education, it was also a strategic thing. Like Paul said, hitting many birds at the same time. Bro. So the places that I traveled to are mostly academic hospitals, which means my goal was to teach, now I build connections to these hospitals, to this nurses in this academic hospital. I work in Yale Hospital. I work in Mass General Hospital. These are your top two hospitals, your Northeast Coast providing, they're the academic teaching hospital for Harvard and as well as Yale University. So those are, you know, what do you want to do? And then you can do a lot of things on your way, especially when you're advancing your degrees, or especially nurse practitioner. I would advise a lot of our nurses, like, build your network. Even as you're your bachelor's degree prepared nurse, you're not a nurse practitioner first. You invest in time, you invest in a relationship, because people will know your work ethics. The doctors probably, who will be your prospective business partners or your within the group, will know how you take care of your patients. You will put your name out there as a person who has very good work ethics, quality care and very dedicated nurse. So if these doctors know you, what do you think will happen after you finish your nurse practitioner? Who do you think will call you? The same doctors or practice group whom you work with, and they will be offering you that job. So you can do so many things, even you're not a nurse practitioner yet. While working on your nurse practitioner degree, start investing on in a relationship with the practitioners around you. So that's my advice. You can do something right now. Even if you don't have funds yet, even if you have not started your school, you can start investing in relationship and network. And later on, if you finish your nurse practitioner school, people know you're ready. They know who to give the job to.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. A lot of points in there. Like, can you summarize all of it?
No, it's a very, you know, I'm like Paul, very strategic. Yeah. I like two birds, three birds at the same time. If you can do it,
all the birds.
Yeah, all the birds at one time. You know, you get a boomerang. You know, a boomerang. You go hit, and then he comes back hitting more birds. Hey, why not? Because I'm a proponent of work smart, not work hard.
So correct. That's what and network is your net worth, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. So network.
Exactly. And you listening to all these people around you. Keep your ears open, but do you need to follow exactly their footsteps? Absolutely not. The thing there is you listen to all, you create your own pathway that is best suitable for you. And that's making informed decision, not based from emotions.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Let me say amen.
Because it's Sunday. Anna, you want to read a question for Rachel?
Okay, Ms. Rachel, we have a question from one of the Facebook, from here. Ms. Rachel, I just graduated ACNE last month and taking my ANCC certification soon. What materials or reviewers do you utilize to ask the cert? Thanks a bunch. Okay, asking for review materials.
Yeah, so as a acute care nurse practitioner, I studied Barkley, and it has like the audio that you can listen while you're driving. That's what I did. So it's per system review, and you know, it really helped me a lot to remember, right, all this, because it's mostly remembering and memorization on what treatments you will do to your patients. Barkley, that is very important when you are going to take your ANCC acute care nurse practitioner board licensure. And also Q&As. I did a lot of Q&As every day. I was doing it, I think I was doing like 100 to 150 questions a day. And that is a Roche, the name of the study material is Roche review Q&A. So I can send the link to you guys so they can purchase it, and it really helped me a lot. So most of the questions there are very similar to the actual board licensure exam. So it really helped me a lot.
How about you, partner Paul?
Review
materials. I mean, you have a good rent.
Yeah, we do. I did FNP route, so I did Leak, Leak's book and app. That's like 750 questions. I did Hollier. Hollier is a review program, 2 days live review program, very, very informational. So that was my lecture, and then Leak was my Q&A. I also did Board Vitals Q&A. That's 1,500 questions. So I answered all of those in less than 30 days because I was rushing to finish the exam. Yes, 300 to 500 questions a day. I didn't do anything. But like I said, it worked to my advantage because I didn't have kids. So guys, you got to be fully committed to it.
Even clear all answering those.
What is sleep again?
Yeah. <I'm sorry. laughs>
Anna and Kay, I want to talk about, I think this will be where we're heading last, because it's been an hour and a half, and Kay has been to three different places already, and Anna's computer has refreshed already, and we're still here. But full practice authority, So for NPs, not everybody has full practice. Full practice is where NPs, nurse practitioner, do not need collaborating physicians, which means they can practice on their own, set up their own clinics, get their own patient panel, build their own patients, treat their own patients. They don't need collaborating. And then there is, what was the yellow again? It's partial or reduced practice. And then there is restricted practice. Yeah. So you see, I'm in the red state for many reasons, but we are in a restricted state, which means as an NP, I cannot solely practice on my own. I always have to have a collaborating physician under the Texas Medical Board. So there's a delegation requirement, right? So the difference with that is I can practice in clinic with a supervising physician. They do not have to be there. They do not have to see all patients that I see. I still see them by myself. You know, I still treat patients by myself. They just have to sign 10% of my chart without seeing patients, right? That's called collaboration, not supervising. So supervising is they have to supervise everything you're doing and then finish the chart for you, send the bill for you, right? Or send the scripts for you as well with their names. With collaboration, we collaborate with providers, which means we do everything, all right? But they need to sign 10% of our chart board requirement. So we cannot practice without that. Rachel is in Nevada, NV, beside California in the West Coast. Rachel do not need collaborating. Nobody needs to sign her charts because she is it. So the difference with that is I cannot set up my own clinic unless I pay a physician to collaborate with me, license, right? Rachel, on the other hand, has to or can set up her own clinic. Rachel, you want to share your experience about full practice authority and the benefits.
So, correct. Yeah. So full practice authority, as you can see there, Nevada is one of the states that has a full practice authority. So that means you can actually create your own practice without having a collaborative provider. But it all depends still on what type of services you're going to provide, right? So for instance, I am hired under a group of doctors in the skilled nursing. So you cannot create your own practice and practice in the long-term care or SNF or any facilities by yourself without any provider. Ever, you can start a practice like what I'm doing as a concierge. You can do that, like IV infusion, those type of services you can. So there's still a limitation on what you can do. This is guidelines by Medicare. So that's how I, that's my explanation on the full practice. It's all still depend on the services you provide.
Quick question for you, Rachel. You've mentioned that you're working with the geriatric population with a group in long-term care and stuff, and also you have mentioned that you're doing on the side that you can also do like your own concierge service. Is it because that do you have non-compete clause that in your contract with the group of practice, that's why you cannot do your private outside, I mean your age, other gigs regarding taking care of the older people outside, that you only can do the concierge? Is it because of that, or is it specifically because that's how the Medicare or Medicaid are doing it when it comes to reimbursement? So I'm just wondering, what gave you that limitation to practice also in other places for the aged people?
So basically, if you are seeing patients in like long term, so I'm going to give you guys example on what I'm experiencing. You cannot actually bill a patient, for example, for internal medicine, and then you're going to do another billing for another private practice or whatever. Similar services, because it's like double dipping, you know. So you cannot actually do that. You can do some other stuff like wound care. So I also started wound care on the side, like, you know, just to have a experience on it. But you can do that. But as provided that the services is not same with the other services that you are doing in this particular group, yes, you can do it. And also with the consent of the of the group. So I talked to the doctor, our leader, about it. So he's aware on what I'm doing, like my concierge practice, and I also do other stuff on the side. So I think it is very important to communicate to your employer about what you are wanting to do, because yeah, there is a non-compete clause and all that. So it's very important to discuss that to your employer.
Thanks for that. Yeah, because a lot of our practitioners often have those called non-compete clause, and you know, cannot do the same service that you're providing. And non-compete clause is not only for nurse practitioners or advanced practice nursing. This is also common to a lot of international nurses coming here to the United States when they're working, like, let's say, in long-term care or home care. Their employers are telling them that they cannot give the same service to that. But then I always tell them, you can do business, like Rachel did, right? You did business that is yours, which is a different specialty. So technically, you're not getting the same market and competing with your own private practice or your group of practice. So again, this is very important to highlight that non-compete clause can also can limit you on providing the similar service that you're hired for or that where you're contracted for, but not necessarily opening a business that's different from what you're actually hired for from the original contractor. So a lot of people have mentioned that. So I just want to highlight that. A good thing that you mentioned that always talk with your employer or talk with your group of practice on what can you do and what you cannot do, because a lot of contracts are very legally heavy jargons and you might not understand and you might do something that will get you a lawsuit for breach of contract. So very important to understand this legalities of your contract as an advanced nurse practitioner. Thank you, Rachel.
And another thing to add there is you have to remember that healthcare is a heavily regulated industry. When I say heavily, especially if you're billing Medicare patients, right? So me and Rachel have Medicare profile. Now we're part of the Medicare providers, right? There are strict guidance as far as billing and fraud. You're also limited to what you can do. So everything is about state regulations. Like Rachel said, she is full practice, but in one area, but not certain area. So she is full practice, but she cannot establish her own skilled nursing facilities, because we know that these skilled nursing facilities are Medicare regulated, which means billing. We're not only talking about billing, liability insurances, and all that thing. So very, very strict. Like with me, I also have non-compete K because I work in urgent care. I cannot work in an urgent care within the same city or same jurisdiction within 30-mile radius. But Houston is about 50-mile radius, so I can go to other places, but you cannot. So other services I probably could provide. But then again, because I'm limited with my practice, I have to have collaborating physicians with my practice. So the difference is between me and Rachel, we both could establish our own clinic. It's just going to be more expensive to me because I have to pay my collaborating physician. And the bill is somewhere around $1,000 to $5,000 monthly for a collaborating physician, right? And their only requirement for our state is they sign, not see patients, sign 10% of the chart. That's the only requirement for TMB. So that's why, for me, full practice is a big thing. If I would have it my way, I would honestly advocate for full practice. But as with anything, it's not black and white. We cannot put everything in a box. I still believe that the first 1 to 5 years of NPs are training years. You know what I mean? Just like with residents, right? Because for me, NPs are good, but there are also why did you take NP? Something like that. You know what I mean? There are NPs that I'm like, me and Rachel, I think we're both confident with our background. I did FNP because ER is connected to FNP. I want to do ER. Rachel did AGACNP because ICU, critical care. It all makes sense. We all aligned ourselves to our specialty. So I think we're both confident with our skills. You know, like we can guarantee that our diagnosis, we will stand by it. You know what I mean? Our prescriptions, we will stand by it. But there are also nurse practitioners that have only been a nurse for 1 year or have not been a nurse, just finished NCLEX and already in NP school, right? I've encountered one NP like that. And unfortunately, these will be your providers, right? So for me, gain experience as a nurse first. And when you do NP, stick to the specialty. Because for example, I have friends that have, not friends, I'm sorry, people that I know, right? I just call everybody friends, that did pediatric, PQ, pediatric floors, and then went doing FNP. With FNP, now you have to do vaginal exams or perform care to our gerontologic patients that you've never seen as a nurse, right? So the transition is difficult. And then eventually they will be diagnosed in gerontologic patients, so women's health. But their background is PQ or pediatric. I think that didn't align, right? You know, stick to the specialty so you can have better grasp with your abilities. Remember, there's more liabilities with NPs because the buck stops with you. You diagnose patient. If you miss something, the number one lawsuits for providers and NPs is misdiagnosis. For RNs, the number one lawsuit is medical errors, right? Medication errors, right? Medication errors. For NPs, misdiagnosis, right? You diagnose patient bronchitis, it's actually pulmonary embolism, right? But you didn't do your exam properly. You didn't do the risk scores. I forgot what's his name, but the Wells scoring, something like that. So if I miss a pulmonary embolism in clinic and the patient dies from pulmonary embolism, I'll be liable for that. So imagine if I'm a baby nurse that only have 30-day experience because I just graduated, you know what I mean? Or I'm a baby MP and a baby nurse. I'm only 24 and I already have my own full practice clinic, right? I think it will be a little dangerous. So for me, guys, as an NPs, we are held to a higher liability and responsibility. So please, please, please get enough experience and stick to your specialization before you become NPs, right? But there is an advantage with full practice states because the cost to create your own practice, because remember, you want to create your own practice, that's how you make money, is less because you don't need to have collaborating agreements. That's what we call it. Those agreements have fees. You know, here in the States, there's no free lunch. Every single thing has a fee. So as a business owner, of course, you want to reduce operational costs so it turns into a profit. Otherwise, well, it will just go to expenses, business expenses. All right, but that's about it. That's all I can share with with NPs. But yes, there's so much business opportunity. Look at Rachel. She was already able to create her own clinic. I'm planning to do the same in the footsteps of Rachel.
Yeah.
But I'm still in a restricted. I'm so restricted. I can practice to my full abilities. I'm just kidding. Texas.
I'm in New York.
Yes. Is New York green?
I believe, right? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we're green.
Yeah, there are also stipulations. Like California can give you full practice, but you have to work with a physician first for 3 years. You have to prove, or 3 or 5 years, correct me if I'm wrong. After working 3 years with a physician, collaborative agreement, you can now do full practice authority after that. I think some states also have the same. Texas, so it doesn't matter if you've been an NP for 30 years, for 40 years. You have to have a collaborating agreement. That's the advantage with full practice authority states, especially if you're doing business. Like Rachel, I would go to the green states right here on the screen. And this is available, by the way, guys, in aanp.org, Association of American Nurse Practitioners Academy. But yeah, they advocate for stuff like this. All right. And honestly, NPs help with providing care, right, to rural communities. I work in rural health right now. There's only two doctors in the whole county with 45,000, 50,000 people and growing. You know what I mean? So there is a dire need for providers. And as an NP, I am proud to say that, you know, with my own little way, I'm able to see patients, get them started with primary care or urgent care stuff without having to wait for too long. If it's just basic diabetes screening and starting them with diabetes meds, that's something I could do and fairly within my scope of practice. You know what I mean? If that's something like cholesterol that I need to screen and start them on statins, that's definitely something that I could do as well as an NP. So I'm proud with what I do. I feel like I'm happy. I'm in a much happier state now compared to when I was in NP school, when there were so many doubts and I was like, oh my God, am I headed the right way? I'm already stuck inside it. I cannot leave. The cost of tuition is expensive. I went through TCU. Somebody asked, where did you go school? TCU, Texas Christian University. It's hybrid. We have to go to class. I think every semester I have to drive up to Fort Worth or fly because I was from McAllen. That's 800 miles. And did they help with preceptorship? Absolutely. So choose schools that would look for preceptors for you. But I had to look for my own preceptors too because I'm picky. I want to learn. So I did urgent care, emergency medicine, OB. Like, can you guys imagine? I was working with one of the top-notch OB here in Houston, very, very good doctor. And he even asked me, do you want to work here? I was like, sure, it's not my forte, but yes, let's see, because it's not my forte, like pediatrics. So I want to learn as much as I can while I'm in school, because I know after school, I'm on my own. Like, I don't want to make a mistake, you know what I mean? So that's it.
Wow, very informative. Like, I told you, whenever in all talks, like, you have to break it down, you're going to understand clearer. How about you, Ms. Rachel? For any last word for our viewers?
Yeah, so I encourage nurses out there, even, you know, while you're still in the Philippines, do your research and follow your heart. Because our, like, all of us here right now, Anna, Paul, and Kay, our goal is to have freedom and to be happy, right? To follow your dream. That's the main important thing that will drive you to where you will be at in the future and be successful. Mm-hmm. It's not only about the money. Honestly, building a business is not also about money. It's about building your legacy, how you treat your people, your patients, and, you know, creating a difference in people's lives. So thank you guys for having me here.
Thank you, Ms. Rachel. I think you want a mom, a nurse, a wife, and in school. Wow.
An entrepreneur now. So yeah. There's lucrative business opportunities when you become an NP, because you can create your own practice, open your own practice. Hi, Farah. She's watching us on LinkedIn.
How about you, Purple? I know you have a lot of work, but what a math work for our viewers.
APRN is, for me, by the term itself, advanced practice. It's a league of its own. Make sure that you have adequate nursing experience and ensure before going to APRN school, is this the route that you want to take? There are a lot of NPs that ended up regretting going back to NPs because they said, oh, RNs make more money, or NPs are so stressful, too much charting, or too much liability for me, I can't do that. Or you know what? I don't want to work 8 to 5. I just want to work 3 12s, right? But a lot of, or I don't want to work 7 12s like hospital is. So guys, before you go NP school or APRN route, whether it's CRNA, CNM, CNS, why don't you shadow a nurse practitioner or a CRNA first for a day or two? See what they do. See if this is really for you. And once you're in, you got to be fully committed to it. You got to have a game plan, all right? That way, when doubts and regrets, those feelings and frustration, because you're in school, there's, you know, schools here are very, very, like with me, the school is very competitive and, how do you say that? It was not easy. Like, I have to put in the work, all right, to cut it short, to say it in a very was this easy manner. I have to put in the work. I have to work for it. You got to be committed to it, because it will test you. It will make you feel like you're not adequate. You're not qualified for it. Is this really what I want? But guys, it's all about, again, and we keep talking about this every so often, goal setting, right? APRN is a lucrative job. It's one of the leading jobs based on BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, but it is also not for everybody, right? If this is for you, then seek mentors, right? People who've already walked the journey similar to your background as much as possible. That way you can have guidance during the journey. And once you become an NP, then it's a lucrative job because you can open your own clinics too. But that's about it. Thank you guys for being with us. Oh, Jen has a message too. Farah said, yes to nurse entrepreneurship. Thank you, Dr. Farah. And to Jen, Dr. Jen, I've been under an NP for 5 years and cannot thank all APRNs out there. The best shout out to all neonatal nurse practitioners. Oh my God, that's a very subspecialized NPs, right? I'm scared of babies. I've only attended very, very few neonatal codes, guys. And let me tell you, those neonatal NPs and even neonatologists rock. Because, whew, my God. But yeah, NNPs.
Maybe you won, but a lot of responsibility, right?
Right, right. I feel like I'm scared of neonates.
Morning, Jen.
Hi, Jen. But yeah, but lucrative job. But again, check your goals. It's all about goal setting.
And I want to add there, Paul, like you said, you know, look for mentors. Mm-hmm. Mentorship is very important. Mm-hmm. It will affect how you will perceive things. And sometimes you will find also mentors or preceptors that might have different goals than you do or mm-hmm. different strategy than you. That's totally fine. I'd rather see all the different strategies and pick one what's best for me than closing your mind into one. You know, they're only seeing one person doing it. So I recommend actually looking it. LinkedIn is a very good resource for a lot of our professional nurses who wants to advance their degrees. We have a lot of nurse leaders there, a lot of experienced nurses who are very willing to share their information. You will be surprised how many people are very willing to share their thoughts and experiences to you without even asking you to pay them, right? So yeah. These are genuine people who will give you genuine advices because they're not motivated by, you know, they're going to make money out of you. So the best people, again, who will be giving you the best advice are those people who's not really getting anything from you, but it's just based from their experience. And again, have an open mindset. Always listen to all. Don't discourage yourself just because you heard it from me. I didn't go for my nurse practitioner. Don't dismiss those people. You have to listen. What are their reasons why I did not pursue it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Because if you will see similar reasons why we did not pursue it, so that may actually challenge you along the way. You don't want to be in a situation that you're there halfway or third, you know, two-thirds of the way, and then you realize, oh, I missed to find out those negative things. So informed decision, always you look at both pros and cons. You look at the positive and negative of your action. So, you know, closing your eyes to something that you don't want to hear is not going to help either. But just listen to it. Approach it like a mature person that, okay, this is the reason why she didn't take it. Or he didn't take it. I have to look into it. Social media is out there also. There's a lot of people saying that, you know, it was not worth it for them. But again, listen to them and listen to those people who keep on saying that it was worth it for them. So very important to hear both sides because, you know, social media has a lot of information that probably will discourage you to same things, but it shouldn't be. Use social media wisely. It's a very great resource to hear genuine from genuine unfiltered people, I would say, you know. unfiltered comments, but shouldn't be used to discourage you on things, but it should be used to actually help you make informed decisions. So that's my best advice there. Listen to all and set your goal. Okay.
Okay, so my last word will be never ever limit yourself. Go for whatever your heart desires and look up all these great people, especially, I mean, like Rachel, the ordinary people. Like you say, I can never be an MP. Because the clinical hours itself kills me. So, and other option, if you don't want to be in a clinical, you can go for academic, but never ever limit yourself. And that concludes our third Sunday of September. Wow, time flies.
Summer yes, 2 hours. And happy first hours. Happy first year to DNP Unlocked too. It's our first year anniversary.
Yay! 45 episodes, right? Oh
yes, God. Yes.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, God, for this open play. We're so happy to be part of this and our viewers. Thank you, Miss Rachel, for sharing your wonderful journey as a mom, a wife, and an MP and a business owner now. Thank you. And
thank you.
For next week, our last Sunday, am I correct? Or episode. Wow. I know I proposed this. That be also episode 46. Or Sunday of September, the last Sunday, Nursing Strike. It's happening. I'm in New York, and it's happening. It's because of Nursing Strike. There's a lot of things that explain why it's happening. And we will talk about it. I'm ill-org. I'm biased, like what Kane said. Go for that next week, September 29, Sunday, 8 a.m. I'm episode 46. Nursing Strike. From Texas, New York, and Maryland. So please don't forget. Okay, everyone, have a good, great Sunday. Thank you, Rachel.
Bye.